Amos chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 13. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah. It shall devour the palaces thereof with shouting in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. And their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, says the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, what a very appropriate passage of Scripture for our nation today. I would ask, Father, that you would open our eyes to see, Father, what you mean in this passage of Scripture, not just for the people of Ammon, Father, 2,700 years ago, but for us today. Father, may you honor your promise and your word not return void. May you bring people to repentance. May people find the forgiveness and healing that you offer by your grace. May the lost be saved. May your people be awakened. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we've been going through Amos, we see this pattern over and over again where Amos stands and he decries the sin of a surrounding nation. We've looked at many of the nations around, and most of us being unfamiliar with ancient geography have a hard time understanding a lot of the places. The Ammonites would have been to the southeastern border of Israel. They would have bordered the land of Gilead, which would have been the eastern portion to the east of the Jordan River. The Jordan River kind of formed a natural barrier for invasion. The land of Gilead did not have that natural barrier, and the Ammonites bordered them to the south. What you read here about the Ammonites is they were a very sinful people. That's why it says for three transgressions and for four. They had committed many sins of various nature, but the most egregious sin that they had committed is the one that Amos is going to address here. And this is the egregious sin that God is not going to turn away his judgment from. He is not going to turn his wrath. And what is this egregious sin? Well, it says here, they ripped up women with child of Gilead that they might enlarge their border. What would happen is the Ammonites would send out raiding parties. They wanted to expand their territory. The land of Gilead was a very good land for pastures, livestock. So the Ammonites wanted that land. It was very good for livestock and cattle. And so they would send in raiding parties to go into Gilead and to find pregnant women and to cut the babies out of the women's wombs and murder the babies. They would literally rip the babies out of their mother's womb. They would not engage in normal warfare. Because as a soldier, if you went and fought a grown man, you might die. However, the most defenseless people on the planet are very pregnant women and their unborn children. This was an easy target. This is a soft target where you did not have to fear for your own life because it literally cost you nothing. You were assuming no risk whatsoever, and you would accomplish the same purpose. As you go in and you literally cut these women open, pull out their babies, and slaughter and rip their babies to pieces, what you are doing is ensuring within one generation the land of Gilead will not have any young men to defend it. They won't have an army, and there won't be anybody living there because all of them will die. So then you can just walk in unopposed without ever risking your life or the life of your own children in war. It doesn't cost you anything the way it would normally cost you to buy land because you're not having to pay for it. This is one of the most cowardly things you could ever do, but also this is one of the most barbaric things any human being could ever engage in. I mean, this is so barbaric, this is below running around like a naked cannibal. Okay? They are literally going into villages while the men are in the fields, looking for any woman that seems to be pregnant, and ripping the baby out of her womb. Obviously, most of the women died as well, if not all of them. This was an egregious sin of murdering innocent children and abusing and misusing and killing women. Because of this, or why they did this, they just wanted some pasture land for their cows. Their neighbor's property looked nice. They wanted a bigger country. So because of this, God says that his judgment is going to come like a fire, verse 14, and the wall of Rabbah will be the capital of Ammon, and it will devour the palaces thereof. God is going to go through the land of the Ammonites, and he is going to destroy everyone all the way to the king's house. It's going to be the shouting in the day of battle. It's going to be an invading army that is going to come, and their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together. And this invading army is going to carry off the king and his sons as slaves. Now, when we think of God's wrath and we think of God's judgment, especially in our culture today, many people view God as going overboard. The idea of an eternal hell, the idea of God's judgment and wrath, we kind of conceive of it as God just has a really nasty temper and sometimes he goes a little crazy. That's the way our world views the wrath of God. That it's really largely undeserved. Okay, when you think of an eternal hell, people go, that just seems kind of a cruel and unusual punishment. Well, let's just take this passage of Scripture. Let me ask you this. What is God's judgment here? It is justice. That's what it is. These barbaric people rip women's wombs apart, murder their children and leave the women to die. What God does is just. But may I tell you that eternal hell and everything else God does is just. The issue is that our sense of morality is just as barbaric as the Ammonites. Because the Ammonites were okay with this. The king was okay with it. His princes were okay with it. They engaged in it. To them, this is normal behavior. The issue is not that God's wrath is unreasonable or unjust. The issue is that your view of morality is completely skewed. Humans have a smashed in a million pieces moral compass that we call evil good and we call good evil. What God does here to the Ammonites is just. That is what they deserved. They deserve to be invaded, they deserve to be slaughtered, and they deserve to be carried off as slaves. The application of this does not require any intelligence whatsoever. We in our nation have sanitized ripping children out of the mother's womb by saying that we are in favor of reproductive freedom, pro-choice, keeping the government out of a woman's body, a medical procedure. It's abortion. How many of you have ever seen what happens in an abortion? What happens in an abortion is they go inside a woman's body, and they rip the baby limb from limb. And then they pull the baby, literally piece by piece, out of their mother's womb. Many times the head is too big, so they crush the head and pull it out in pieces. That is what we call reproductive freedom. That's what we call pro-choice. When anyone stands up and says, I'm in favor of women's rights to choose, what they are saying is I am okay with children literally being ripped limb from limb inside their mother's womb. That is what they are saying, because that is what abortion is. We have sanitized it as some medical procedure. It is literally ripping a child limb from limb. And I would challenge you, go online, look at the pictures. How many of y'all have ever seen the pictures of the Germans after the end of World War II, before and after they were marched to Auschwitz? beforehand, they're smiling because the war's over. All of their boys have come back home. Yes, they lost the war, but the Allies are not going to be cruel. We're going to be able to go back to time of peace. And now they want us to take some tour of this, you know, prison nearby. And then you see their face afterwards, after they see what their nation had done to the Jewish people. They walk in smiling and laughing. They come out weeping and horrified. We live in our own Holocaust, and you need to walk to Auschwitz. You have a computer. You have a smartphone. Google what an abortion looks like. We are ripping apart children in their mother's wombs. We are the Ammonites. That is what we are doing as a nation. Now I'm going to get to how bad it is in just a minute. But one of the things we don't take into account with all the conversation about pro-women and women's rights and all of that is the toll this takes on women's bodies. Okay? This is extremely detrimental to women's health. Not only do they have the risk of dying during an abortion, and that has happened. Ever heard of Hermann Gosnell? Okay, it happens. But they can also be permanently sterile and unable to have children. But those are kind of the smaller things. They have a much higher rate of suicide, increased depression, and many of them, if not most of them, women who've had abortions, suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Okay, what soldiers suffer from when they see their buddy's head blown off in Vietnam. Now, with again, this is all medically documented. This is not conspiracy theories. This is actual documentation. Many women cannot even vacuum their own home anymore after having an abortion because of the flashbacks, because they use a vacuum to suck the baby piece by piece out of their womb. And when they turn on the vacuum cleaner in their home, they have flashbacks the same way that an Afghanistan soldier, one of our soldiers coming back from Afghanistan, has flashbacks at the 4th of July when they hear the fireworks going off. Not only that, abortion is a known cause of breast cancer. We're destroying women's bodies physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. And the men are the cowards in all of it, because you're not the one that has to go in there. You're not the one that has to live with it. It's just some girlfriend you're never going to see again. It's just some prostitute that you just used her body and tossed her aside. Okay? The men here are the cowards. The politician who pays the woman to go have an abortion so he doesn't have to deal with his own decisions. And it's the woman who has to bear the pain for the rest of her life. You know, women who have abortions, they remember how old their child's supposed to be. And when they walk through the grocery store and they see a child that's 4 years old, they go, oh, that's about how old my child would be. The man doesn't live with that. He lives with the spiritual consequences, yes. But we are mistreating women through so-called women's rights. I appreciate so much what Gabe shared this morning, because this is not pro-woman. It's increased suicide rate among women. How is that pro-women? Depression? It's not pro-women. It just allows men the easy way out, the same way the Ammonites did. While we're on the subject, how many of y'all are aware that the birth control pill is a known cause of breast cancer? It causes one of the most aggressive forms of breast cancer in women under the age of 30. Okay, that's from the conspiracy website, cancer.org, the American Cancer Society. Go look it up. It's next to arsenic, radon, tobacco, asbestos, oral contraceptives. But we can't be bothered with dealing with the consequences of our decisions as men. No, it's the woman that has to go through the chemo. It's the woman who has to go through the mastectomy. It's the woman who has to go through the radiation. It's the woman who has to pay the consequences. We destroy women's bodies. And here's how we're worse than the Ammonites. We don't kill our neighbor's kids. We kill our own. We're not ripping apart the Canadians' kids. We're ripping apart our own children. We're not ripping apart our neighbors' children. We are ripping apart our literal children and grandchildren. At the time of Amos's writing, there was about 150 to 160 million people on planet Earth. The United States, we have murdered between 55 and 60 million babies. That is over one-third of the entire population of the world at Amos's day. I mean, let that sink in. While we were all scared for 10 or 12 people stuck in a cave in Thailand, every day, between 1,000 and 1,500 of our own children were ripped from their mother's womb piece by piece. Planned Parenthood alone did over 300,000 abortions. As a nonprofit, they made $77 million profit. But our supposedly pro-life president, supposedly pro-life Senate, supposedly pro-life Congress thought that a $77 million profitable company needed $50 million of your tax dollars. We are the Ammonites. We are barbaric. We are more barbaric than naked savages killing and eating each other because we are ripping our own children out of our mother's wombs and leaving the women to pay the consequences. For what purpose? Well, the Ammonites did it because they wanted pasture land. We do it because we want an unfettered sex life. So a quote a couple weeks ago that just really encapsulated all of this. The man said, abortion is the world's resounding answer to the question, would you kill in order to have an unfettered sex life? The answer is yes. Every day. I mean, when was the last time you drove by a 7,000-square-foot home with a big iron gate across the front of it and you said, wow, they must have 18 kids to have a home that big. And they have to have the gate to keep the kids from playing in the road, right? No, they murdered their children because they'd rather have the big house. And that's not true across the board. But by and large, we kill our children so we can get our college degree. We kill our children so we can have a career. We kill our children so we can have the promotion. We kill our children so they don't interfere with our vacation. That is actually a reason given by many women. It's because they have a cruise scheduled and they want to look good in a bikini, not be pregnant. So they murder their child so they can look good in the pictures on Facebook for their cruise. We are more barbaric than the Ammonites. And if God wiped them out, he'll wipe us out too. And that's called justice. That is not God throwing a temper tantrum. It's what our nation deserves. I believe it was Nancy Pelosi this past week in speaking about the Supreme Court and Roe versus Wade, said if Roe versus Wade is overturned, then we will no longer be a civilized nation. We are not a civilized nation. We're a nation of barbarians who murder our own children. This is civilized. I don't want to be it. We live in a barbaric nation, and God will judge us. You can read about the Ammonites all you want to, but you can't make it say anything other than what we just said. Now, what does that mean for us today? First, I am not so naive as to think that no one in this room has had an abortion. Or has paid for a girlfriend or a wife to have an abortion. In fact, there's probably 4 or 5 women in this room who've had abortions, statistically speaking. In fact, 31% of all abortions are by women who claim to be born-again Christians. 31%, that's almost a third. Let me just pause for a minute and remind you of what Jesus said. Jesus said, I did not come into this world to bring condemnation. You say, well, that just sounded pretty condemning to me. No. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world because the world was already condemned. We have a wrong understanding of justice and condemnation. We view condemnation as something that happens after you die and when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But no, you have already been declared guilty. God has already judged, and you are already condemned. This is the whole point of the Old Testament. This is the whole point of the Ten Commandments. This is the whole point of God's law, is not to condemn you, but to show you that you are already condemned. We walk around believing ourselves to be right with God and not realizing that we are guilty. So God gave us His law to show us we are guilty. Let me ask you this. Before Amos ever spoke, was God going to judge the Ammonites? Absolutely. All He does is inform them of what God has already decided. That's all God's law does. So my purpose this morning is not to condemn anyone in this room or to condemn anyone in our country. It's to simply say that we all stand condemned. Our country is condemned. The citizens of our country are condemned. You are condemned because of our behavior, our decisions, our mistreatment of women, our murder of our own children. We stand condemned. But that is the whole point of the gospel, is that Jesus came not to condemn people because they're already condemned. Jesus came to save people from their condemnation. Perhaps the greatest picture of this is the Passover. Okay? The Passover is not that God looks down and says, you know what? I'm going to condemn everybody. No, everybody is already condemned to die. And that night, every firstborn in every home, Jew or Gentile, is going to die. The condemnation has already been declared. When the death angel comes, the firstborn is dead. They're already condemned. So God makes a way. And that is through the death of a lamb for blood to cover the door. And God says when He sees the blood of the lamb, death will pass over. That's the whole meaning of the term Passover, is that death passes over those within that home. John the Baptist preached much like Amos, decrying the sins of the people around them. And he told them to flee from the wrath to come. But flee where? How do you run from God? How do you run from His wrath? How do you run from His judgment? Where do you go? How do you escape God? And then he sees Jesus coming and he points and says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. You run to Jesus. You see, the reason Christians by and large don't celebrate the Passover is because every Sunday we celebrate that Jesus, the Lamb of God, His blood covers us and God's death and judgment and condemnation have passed over us. You see, my purpose this morning is not to condemn. My purpose is to tell you we are condemned and we need to run to Jesus Christ. We need to repent. We need to seek forgiveness. If you are a man or a woman who has participated in abortion, there is grace and there is forgiveness and there is healing. Please come speak to me in confidence, and I will introduce you to Christian men and women who've been where you are, who will walk through it with you so that you can know that the sin of murder has been forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you have a friend or a loved one or a child who's had an abortion, please point them to Jesus because there is forgiveness in Him. But that forgiveness requires an acknowledgement of what you've done. You can't just hide it and expect it to go away. That's why it still haunts you in your dreams. You have to find grace and forgiveness in Jesus. And that's where I want to begin an application. Yes, we stand condemned, but Jesus, as the Lamb of God, His blood covers us and saves us from the wrath of God. So run to Jesus. But more so than that, in terms of application, this is a men's issue, not a women's issue. You mean to tell me that a woman would still choose to have an abortion if she had a man who would take care of her and her child, who would be there for her, who would enter into a covenant with her, to never leave her, to never abandon her, to never divorce her, to raise her children, to pay for them, and to take care of them and provide for them. If you had men that would do that, the vast majority of abortions would be done. But this is what the woman knows. As soon as I'm pregnant, my sole purpose in life, which is this sexual satisfaction, is done. And if I am pregnant and have a child, then I'm no longer a sex object in our society. And my purpose and usefulness in life has diminished. Because it's true. The men are just using the women for their bodies. Abortion and prostitution go hand in hand. Pornography and abortion go hand in hand. The objectification of women is going to result in one thing: their abuse and their pregnancies. And the only way you can perpetuate their objectification is to kill their children. Men have got to step up to the plate. Okay? Many, many women would adopt children as opposed to having them aborted. But it's their husbands that don't want to help. Step up. Step up. Speak out against it. As Christians, men and women alike, we have got to decry the sin of our nation. We are a barbaric nation. And God will wipe us out. As Raven Hill, who said that if God does not judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We must be like Amos. Well, I'm just a simple man, so was Amos. Well, I'm just blue collar, so was Amos. I'm just a farmer, so was Amos. I'm not educated, neither was Amos. I'm not eloquent, neither was Amos. God commands us to speak for those who cannot speak. And we must stand up and speak. It's not enough to vote pro-life, so to speak. We have to speak up against the abuse and mistreatment of women, the ripping of children out of their mother's wombs. We have to stand up and speak. But as we speak, we have to point people to Jesus Christ. You know what? All the money in the world is not going to change a young woman's heart. All the money in the world is not going to make a young man a good dad. There's only Jesus Christ. We have the answer to abortion. And it's not the Supreme Court. It's the gospel. Amen. And we have to go and decry America. Because we are the Ammonites of our day. And we have to call people to repent. Come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Amen.